Well, let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning and let's hold them up and say this together. In this house, we elevate God's Word. What He says is greater than our feelings, our thoughts, and our behavior. God's Word is the foundation of our faith, is life to our mind and health to our bodies, teaches us, corrects us, and thoroughly equips us for every good work. Everybody say, I'm equipped. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our series this morning, The Living Word. Last week I had given you a handout or made available, I'm sorry, to you on the usher's table. I believe there's still some. Are there any yellow sheets still? One? Okay. There's a few back there. On 18 reasons that we respect and honor the Word of God. And the first one I gave you that we expounded upon was God's Word is the foundation of our faith. And that's taken from Romans 10:17, which says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Aren't you glad that our faith is not some pie in the sky, just dreamed up fantasy land? We very much can know God and His existence by His Word. Amen. By His Word. So even though God is unseen and He lives in the dimension of the Spirit, which is a very real dimension, we have great faith. We have great trust in Him because of His Word. And since He is in the dimension of the Spirit, He has to tell us who He is, and He has done that. We have the written Word, the Scriptures, that builds our faith. Can I get a witness? We have the living Word, Jesus Christ, the Bible, literally walking around, breathing and demonstrating who God is. And then, of course, how about the ongoing Word He speaks into our heart? I'm grateful for that on a daily basis. Well, I want to talk about the second reason that we honor and respect God's Word is it grounds us in truth that sets us free. It grounds us in truth that sets us free. John 17:17 says, and this is Jesus speaking, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Now I want to show you John 8:31-32. Again, this is Jesus. And He said to those at Grace Church who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Very important. Now I want you to, I underlined a couple of parts of that verse. If you abide in My word, you shall know the truth. Why? Because His word is truth. When Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth, had the Bible been written yet? No, it hadn't been. So He's talking about God's very word, of whom Christ is a manifestation. Right? John 1:1. He is a manifestation of the word of God. Let's look at a couple of others. 3 John 1:4. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that My children walk in truth. John 16:13, but when He, Jesus said, the Spirit of truth comes. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. I think truth is pretty important as believers. He will guide you. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. So God desires that we as a church family get rooted and grounded in truth that sets us free. Amen. You are about two people short of first service. I got about 3 or 4 amens in first service. Let's try it again. This is important. God desires us as Grace Church, as a family, to get rooted and grounded in truth that sets us free. Amen. Amen. Thank you. If the persecution continues in this country of Christians and the church of Jesus Christ, which over the last 10 years has multiplied greatly, I might add. If the persecution continues, the only ones that are going to last through it are the people who actually know the truth. Amen. Have a working knowledge of God's word and God's truth and what He says about them. Because no amount of persecution or ridicule can put fear in a heart that's already full. I want our hearts, I believe the Lord wants our hearts, so full of truth, so full of His word, fear doesn't even have any room to get in. Intimidation doesn't have any room to get into our hearts. You know, if you read the parable of the sower, which Jesus said was the most important, He said, if you can't get this one, you probably can't get any of them. Jesus called the word of God, seed. And in this parable, the parable of the sower, we see that the devil is always after the word. He's always after the word. The Bible says he comes immediately to skillfully remove the word of God from your heart. And so when afflictions come, how many of you don't take afflictions personally? You know it's the devil just trying to work on the seed that's in you. Right? Depends on who it is. If you have a relative, you got this coworker, you got somebody that's always picking on you, never anything good to say about you, don't take it personal. It's the enemy just using them to work on the word. Jesus said in the parable of the sower, persecution comes for the word's sake. And I know we'd all like to think that the devil is mortified of each of us individually, but he's really scared of the word. Because that word of God in you can change a nation. The word of God in you could completely change your family. Are you with me? Are you listening to me? Could completely shift the culture. It's the word of God that the enemy fears. And so he'll bring affliction. He'll bring problems and trials and cares of this world and all that. He'll try to get you offended. See, and we want to take it personal. They're picking on me. No, it's the enemy. He's just using them, but he's trying to get you to abort the seed that's in your heart. He wants you offended. He wants you frustrated. He wants you fearful. Can I get a witness that the seed, there's nothing wrong with the seed. It's the soil that needs to be kept pure and kept healthy because the word works. Everybody say the word works. So the enemy's always trying to, if he can't immediately come and steal the seed, he's going to try to corrupt the soil of our hearts. That's what he's going to try to do because that word has transforming power. He's always been afraid of the word. He always will be afraid of the word. He's always been afraid of the truth that sets people free. And so it's really all about the word. Please remember that. Next time you're fussing and fighting in your marriage, remember the enemy's just trying to get that word out of your heart. And for us to be all God desires us to be, we all need to believe the truth of God's word on a daily basis. I love that you believe it right now, but man, we need to believe the truth every day. We need to manifest that every day. And I think we all agree if Sunday morning sermons were going to change America, America would be changed. Come on, think about it. We're not sitting here saying, man, we just need better sermons on Sunday and then America would be different. No, the truth has been coming for years and years and years. What we need is God's people to believe the truth. Believe it, receive it, participate with it. Jesus said, know it, which is a participatory term. The world changes when the saints of God believe the word of God. When we start believing how forgiven we are, how righteous we are, how equipped we are. You know, you can deal the devil some really damaging blows. Man, how do you know that, Steve? Because he attacks the word that's in your heart. He fears it. Amen. I know it's not you apart from God, but you with God is pretty good. Amen. Us believing, daring to believe God's word, that's pretty good. You and God together make a majority where the devil's concerned. Amen. He's not asking you to do anything but believe the truth. We'll get into this in a second. But in John 6, they asked Jesus, hey, what are the works that we need to do, man, to make this happen? You know what he said? Believe in me. Believe me. Believe my word. That's the work. Just believe him and agree with it. So I want to share with you about truth this morning. The truth of God renews our minds. It transforms our hearts. It equips and aligns us with who we are. It allows us to manifest victorious living. I don't want to just talk about victory. I want to live it. I don't want to just pray one day it happens. I want us to live victorious lives. Who wants to have all these little foxes and little vines always spoiling the fruit, man? I want to be able to manifest the fruit that God desires and put my foot on the neck of those foxes and vines. Nobody wants to be enslaved here by flesh patterns and bad behavior. Amen. Help me, Holy Ghost. So here's some truths about the truth of God's word. These are very important. Some truths about the truth of God's word. Number one, God cannot lie. That's what Titus chapter 1 verse 2. What do you need to know about God's word? Well, how about that he can't lie? It's not that he won't lie, it's he can't lie. And if he says the carpet is blue, it turns blue. Because he can't lie. Everything conforms to his word. Amen. Whatever God says you are as a born again Christian, well, that's what you are. Congratulations. God doesn't get new information about Annie every day so he can recalculate what her identity really is. God doesn't do that. He doesn't get new information about Annie each and every day to determine whether she's valuable today or not. Do I really love her today or not? Let me watch her perform and then I'll decide. Come on, that's silly. God establishes the truth about Annie and invites Annie to participate with the truth. Amen. What you do, and if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write a few of these down because these will help you. What you do does not make you who you are. What God has done in you, that makes you who you are. You're not a self-made Christian. You're a Christ-made Christian. How many of you would say you're born again? You've been, quote, saved. Okay, good. How many of you saved yourselves? How many of you did that? None of you. Now, what you did is consented. You consented to become his child, but he, by the Spirit, made you his child. Okay, so you're not a self-made Christian. You're a Christ-made Christian. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So by definition of a new creation, you're not who you once were. God has made you something different. And sometimes you got to slap the devil upside the head and tell him to quit lying to you. Say, so I'm going to dare to believe God's truth, no matter how good it is. No matter how good the things are that my Father says about me, I'm going to dare to believe them. Because I'll bear a whole lot more fruit that way than believing the enemy's lies. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That's what the Bible says. If you're born again, you've been joined to the Lord, you're one spirit with him now. That's the truth. He doesn't ask you to make that happen. He just asks you to live that reality out. And then 1 Peter 1:22, you've been born again by an incorruptible seed, the word of God that lives and abides forever. Born again by an incorruptible seed. How about this? How many of you want to be more and more like Christ and live a sanctified, consecrated life? Amen. We all want that. Do you realize that in the way of consecration, you can't consecrate yourself? It's the same as salvation. You consent to being consecrated. You consent to have his righteousness working in and through you. All right. Well, let me go to the second one. Maybe we'll have more luck. Number two, the second truth about the truth. It does us no good if we don't believe it. It does us no good if we choose not to believe it. How many of you think we ought to mix faith with what God says? We mix faith with the truth. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Let's get anchored in the truth. Man, when we're anchored in the truth, it transforms us. It changes us. It empowers us to overcome bad behavior, flesh patterns, all those kind of things. It's empowering. How many of you ever struggle with a repeatable flesh pattern, a bad behavior that comes back that you don't like about yourself? About 8 of you? Man, awesome. This church, I'm telling you. Mom, we must have prayed all that sin out of here. Unless lying or misrepresentation might be one. That one might be alive and well. But no, we all struggle with things, behavior patterns we wish weren't there that come back, try to repeat themselves. Listen, and you, please, if you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. You need to deal with your belief that keeps you locked into bad behavior before you deal with your behavior itself. Deal with the belief that keeps you locked into bad behavior, the belief about yourself that keeps you there, before you deal with the behavior itself. I'm going to help you if you have children. If you have a child that continually does behavior that, let's say, is unfitting of Christ, and you don't like this behavior, before you deal with his outward behavior, start asking them questions about their core belief about themselves. Start investigating how they see themselves. Start finding out, what do you believe is true about you? Your purpose, your value. Who do you think you are? Not who do you think you are, but who at your core do you believe that you are? This is a very important question, guys, because man always wants to deal with the outer stuff. And Jesus said, hey, always examine the inside of your child's cup first. Always deal with the inside. What do they believe about themselves? Maybe it's that root lie they've believed about themselves, that they're not important, they're not valuable. Maybe they don't think they're acceptable, so they go do crazy stuff so people will like them. Find out their core beliefs before you deal with behavior. Psalm 119:11 says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we hide God's word in our heart, and it helps us deal with temptation and overcome flesh patterns, right? Can I get a witness that the devil loves to hide things in your children's hearts? He'll lie to them. I mean, you have no idea. You know he's lied to you. Well, that's probably nothing compared to what he's telling your children. You got to be aware of this. He wants to hide his words, his thoughts and all that in their heart. So we got to get to that issue. What do they believe about themselves? I know we want to, you know, time out. You can only do that so often. You only spank them so much. At some point, find out the lie they've believed about themselves. Come, give God praise. Amen. That's so good. So good. The Word of God can strengthen us against sin and flesh patterns, but not if we don't believe it. And our children, our grandchildren, and we ourselves, let's be honest, we need to believe who God says we are. And that will enhance our behavior a whole lot quicker than all the other stuff. And you know, this generation of young people, maybe they have belief issues more than they have behavior issues. And why wouldn't they? Because has the Word of God been challenged in their generation? Absolutely. Politicians challenge it. The truth and whether there even is any has been challenged in this generation. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awaken unto righteousness and sin not. Which one comes first? Awaken. Awaken unto righteousness. And oh, by the way, some of the sin issues go away. Maybe we need to be awakened to who God's word says we are, how righteous and pure and clean and forgiven we are in him. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says we are sanctified, which is the process of us becoming more and more like Christ. We're sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and are you ready? By believing the truth. We must believe the truth. This is a valid question. Who or what is the source of information you're using to determine the truth about you? Who or what is the source that I use to determine what's the truth about Steve? What's the truth about James? What's the truth about God? What's the truth about how life is to be lived? Because a lot of people use their feelings. Right? Is anybody going to sing it? Feelings. People use their feelings to determine the truth. How about behavior? How about fruit? Well, Pastor Steve, I'm just not bearing the fruit I feel like I ought to. How can I be who God says when I don't see the fruit I'm looking for? Let me ask you this question. Is an apple tree still an apple tree if there's no apples on it? Yes. Do we wait till we see an apple on the tree to say, oh, now it's an apple tree? No. Well, you're righteous in root long before you're righteous in fruit. Bless you. Yeah, you're righteous in root long before you're righteous in fruit. And God's not waiting around for you to do something righteous before he calls you righteous. God's word says you're righteous. That's what you are. And the more you know that truth and participate with that truth, the more you'll bear fruit after its kind. The reality is, too, that we bear fruit in different amounts in different areas. I may bear fruit 30-fold in certain areas of God's revelation that he's given me. I may have other areas I'm not bearing fruit in revelation that he's given me. Maybe we're just launching out into that area. Other areas, a hundredfold return. There's all kinds of fruit in this revelation that God has given Steve Eden. So you can bear different amounts of fruit in different areas. So just because you're not seeing all the fruit you want to see, don't give up. Keep abiding, keep believing the truth of God's word. And God is adamant to the church today. I'm telling you, he says, you are who I say you are. I can't lie, so you may as well believe it. God doesn't wait to give a bird wings till after it starts flying. Right? Even we say it's a bird, even though it's not flying yet. Give yourself some grace, some understanding, but it's imperative that you identify. Everybody say identify. You identify yourself as who God says you are. God calls you righteous and then says, hey, believe the truth and I'll guide you into righteous behavior. All right, let's go to the third one. If your view of you doesn't match God's view of you, you're wrong. And then I put up Romans 3:4, the Steve Eden translation. You see? You guys didn't even know, did you? S-E-T. Steve Eden translation. Romans 3:4, according to Steve Eden translation, says, let God be right and everyone else wrong. Who knows what it really says? Let God be true and every man a liar. See, if your view of who you are doesn't match who God's saying you are, you're wrong. And you need to repent. I mean, how many of you think if we think way too much of ourselves, we should repent of that? Then why don't we equally believe that we need to repent when we think so lousy of ourselves? Both of them's pride. This one's just dressed in rags. This one's dressed in a tuxedo. But we need to repent when we don't agree with God. The most humble thing you can do is agree with Him and acknowledge that He knows you better than you know yourself. It's possible He knows more about you than you know about you. Do you know I can prove that? Has He numbered the hairs on your head? All right, which one's number 7? You don't know, do you? So God can speak things to you and about you that you don't even know about yourself. What are you going to do? Challenge Him with your feelings? Well, I just don't feel that way, God. I know you say that, but you better humble yourself. Amen. That's good. You may say, well, Pastor Steve, I've always believed this about myself for years and years and years. Well, if it's contrary to who He says you are, you're wrong. And too many people don't let His word be the highest authority. Even the opinions of other people, what somebody told you when you were a young person. Don't let that outweigh who God says you are. And it may be your perspective, it may feel like reality, but it doesn't make it true. Just because it feels that way or it's perceived that way. And sometimes your behavior seems to prove that. Doesn't mean it's true. And here's how I can prove it. Is Jesus Lord? Was Jesus Lord long before you believed it?
Yes.
Did you believing now that He is Lord, did that suddenly make it true?
No.
All right. So if you're a born again child of God, who He says you are is who you are. And I think in the area of belief, we struggle some. I think there's days, Sylvia, we really believe it. And there's other days, I don't know whether we don't feel like it or maybe somebody said something critical to us or we did a big piece of stupid. But as I've told you before, your big piece of stupid doesn't reveal the truth about you. It may reveal you believed a lie about you. So you can't look to human behavior to determine truth. Oh, that's so good. Write this down. Just because you believe something terrible about yourself doesn't mean it's true. And likewise, just because you don't believe something awesome God says about you doesn't mean it's not true. I think the Lord says it's already true, James. You may as well believe it. Amen. Who wants to live a lie? Who wants to live in a false reality? Man, I want to live in the truth, no matter how good it is. Write this down. You are not the truth. You do not determine the truth. You discover the truth with the help of the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, who guides you into all truth about yourself, about God, and about how life is to be lived. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. So right there, he did not say truth is something you go determine. He said truth is something you will come to know. You'll come to know. And some of you have lots of freedom in certain areas where truth has been manifested and you've come to know it. But you've got other areas in your life. God wants to guide you in truth there too. Because isn't it true that if knowing the truth sets us free, believing a lie would set us into bondage? If that is true, then that means any area that we have where we're not manifesting freedom and fruit and all those things is simply because we believed a lie in that area. There's some measure of untruth or deception at work in that area. Come on. I know you're thinking about it, but it's true. It's true. All right, let's go to number four. I kind of jumped the gun a little bit, but what you believe doesn't determine whether something is true or not, but it does determine whether you experience the life and freedom of what is true. So what do I mean by that? Does what you believe matter? Yes, it does. It matters in the sense of, are you going to experience the freedom of the truth? Does your behavior matter? Yes. See, belief and behavior matter, just not for the reasons we thought they did. We thought I had to believe right and have all revelation and all knowledge and truth and then behave all right all the time and then God will love me. God does care about what you believe and how you behave. But those don't determine what's the truth. They determine whether you get to experience the freedom of what is true. Let's let that sit right there. See some good head nodding, so that's good. Not like nodding off. Head nodding. That's funny. So, does that make sense? Your belief matters. Your behavior matters. But just because they allow you to start experiencing the freedom of the truth, the peace and the life that's in the truth about you. I think the one who made you holds more truth about you than anybody else. And you may say, again, well, I just don't believe that about me, Steve. You haven't lived with me. Well, while you're not believing it, you're missing out on truth. You're missing out on the life and peace of what's true. So the Holy Spirit's role, he comes and he delivers us from lie-based thinking. And that's why when you work with your children and your grandchildren, lie-based thinking could be the root of their bad behavior. This works with mathematical precision, because as a person believes in their heart, so are they. That's Proverbs 23:7. So the Holy Spirit is to expose lie-based thinking, lie-based feelings. Holy Spirit, man, help us with lie-based feelings. And the Holy Spirit comes and he reminds you of how righteous you are. He reminds you of your value before the Lord. He reminds you of how good God really is. And how life is to be lived. All right, last one, number five. If knowing the truth sets us free, believing lies put us into bondage. I mentioned that one. We need to respect God's word. We need to know God's word, abide in it. We need to walk in the words of Jesus. And this is why. If this is a true statement, and it is, because it's based upon what Jesus said in John 8:32, then we can come to no other conclusion than any bondage we have in our lives is from deception. Any bondage that we're walking in or living in or manifesting is the result of ignorance of the truth about us. Is it not written in John 8:36, Jesus himself said it, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You know how many people look to their behavior to determine whether they're free from something or not? Where's the root of behavior? Belief. It's belief. Everybody in this area who, in this Choctaw area, who woke up this morning and doesn't believe that God loves them is not going to find freedom. They'll find bondage. Right? That God doesn't love them. They're not valuable. They're not important. You don't find freedom when you believe those things. So the truth is necessary to bring freedom. And isn't it interesting how we're made for him? We're not even made to believe those things. Chaos happens when we start believing lies about God. Jeremy, you guys can go ahead and come. I want to tell you a story, and I've told it before, about a little girl named Addie who was 8 years old. And this is the power, I'm telling you, of truth versus lies and deception. When Addie was 8 years old, her mother was going through a horrible time. And she was talking on the phone with a friend. And I understand what she was trying to say. Addie at eight couldn't get it. But what her mom, Addie's mom, told her friend on the phone that Addie overheard was that she wished she had never been born. Now, she was saying that because she'd made such a mess of her life and everything had gone so horrible, she felt it was unfair to Addie. So she was saying, I wish she'd never been brought into this situation. Well, Addie didn't know that, and Addie heard that. And those words like seeds fell into Addie's heart and took root. And Addie lived the next 5 years of her life as a little girl who didn't believe she was valued, loved, she had no purpose. Even her own mom didn't want her, wished she wouldn't even been here. And she manifested all kinds of behavioral issues at school, as you can imagine. Well, at age 13, after everybody else had tried to fix her behavior, medications and all that kind of stuff, as you can imagine, at age 13, a Christian counselor met with Addie, and he figured out a core lie that little girl had believed when she overheard what her mother said. And he told Addie, he said, listen, you might have come through your mom, but you came from God. And you're so valuable, Addie, and you're so loved, and you're so precious. And he said, you know, God put you here on purpose, for a purpose. He's numbered the hairs on your head and the whole gamut. And guess what happened? Addie heard those words, and she took them like seed and put them in her heart, and they completely evicted the old seeds that were there, the old lie that she had believed. The truth overcame the lie. And at age 13, Addie went back to school as a little girl who believed she was loved, loved by God himself, and that she had value and she had purpose. Do you see? The human heart is like soil. And if we know the truth, it brings freedom. If we fall into a lie, it brings all kinds of bondage. Will you stand with me? God asked me to give this to you. This is just a prophetic word he slipped into my heart, and here's what he says. Do you assign more value to what I say about you or what others say? Do you assign more value to what I say about you or how you perform or feel at times? By now, you should recognize my love for you is greater than your mistakes. You should see how my own blood is greater than your missteps. All in all, your future in me is greater than your past, whether your past was 10 years ago, 10 days ago, or 10 minutes ago. Will you receive that? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're an Addie this morning. And if you are, my heart breaks for you. That maybe you've taken some seed into your heart, some things that are just absolutely not true. And if that's you, I just ask that you just slip your hand up so we can pray for you. I'm not going to have you come to the front or do anything wild. Thank you. Anybody else? Just say, pray for me, Pastor. Any other Addies in here this morning? You got some lies in your heart? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Really just all over. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, we couple all these lies together in our hands that we've believed, and we hand them to you. I want you literally to see yourself hand those seeds to Jesus. And Lord, that these would be evicted out of my heart from this day on. They don't belong there. Lies don't belong in my heart. And I give these to you. And now I want you to see also, coupled in your hands, the truth of your value, your forgiveness, your love and your peace with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. And I want you to see those seeds find a home in your heart. Lord, that there's good soil all over this room. I know it and I believe it. And I just thank you for transplanting lies with the truth here this morning. And that for each of these that were brave enough to raise their hand, that they would find the great healing, hope, and freedom that comes from knowing the truth. We bind up and reject all lie-based thinking from this moment on. And we ask, Holy Spirit, seal this word in our heart, in our mind. Thank you that he who the Son sets free really is free. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. We give him praise this morning. Amen. So powerful. If you need additional prayer, I want to invite you to just stick around here.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.